Hello and welcome to Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach's Sunday celebration service, given by Pastor Paul Harmon. This message was recorded on April 12, 2015, and is entitled, Our Home, a Church.
Praise the Lord. Let's get our Bibles in hand, get our bulletins as well. So if you have your Bible and you have your bulletin, friends, we are going to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, fifth book into the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 6. How many of you know our theme for this year, Multiplying Life Teams in 2015, is all about, once again, about really mentoring. In other words, what is it that you want to pass on to someone else? How about your own legacy? When things are all said and done, your life's journey's come to a conclusion. What do you want people to say? This is the lasting value that has been given because of this person or because of you. Well, we're taking a look at today. We're beginning a journey, once again, resharpening our focus on our theme. You're going to be seeing and hearing things, what the Bible has to say, and we're looking at the title of today's message, Our Home, a Church. And we want to pray before we begin, right, so we can hear God's voice. Isn't that true? We really do want to hear. How many know the old story about that Indian, right? You heard that story? Cowboy rode up, and here's this Indian with his body on the ground, his ear to the ground, and the cowboy says, what's up? And the Indian says, seven horses, seven riders, wagon train, blind driver. And the cowboy said, you got all that by listening to the ground? He said, no, cowboy, him run over me 2 hours ago. So we want to be able to actually hear from the Lord. How about that? Or you can hear things when they just mow you down and say, I think I learned something from that. So, Father, we thank you as we open our hearts today. We really do. Lord, thank you. And our joy is to hear your word and to hear from you. So, Lord, do that right now, especially as it involves where we live. In Jesus' name, amen. We're looking at Deuteronomy chapter 6. When we talk about our home as a church, how many know if you were a part of the 1990s, the 90s were said to be really, it was called the decade of change, that there was going to be more change in the 90s than any of the previous 25 years. And isn't that true? You take a look now from that time, how much things have changed in our political landscape. How about our culture has changed? The electronic age has changed. There's been so much that has changed economically. I mean, there's just a lot of change that are going on. How could we keep up with that? And what I'm wanting to just submit to you today is that in a sea of change, saying, well, where am I going to kind of land? Where am I going to base things on? I want to encourage us, once again, our theme, and as God's been speaking to us individually and as a church, man, let's base things on the Word of God. Let's get biblical principles, because Jesus says, let me show you what a man's life is like when he builds his house on a rock, means builds his house on the Word of God. And let me show you what a man's life is like when he builds that same house not on the Word of God, and he calls it sand. And both lives, both homes face just tumultuous storms, one where the structure is still standing. The other, Jesus says, the ruin is great. When we take a look here, Moses is addressing an entire nation called Israel. He is now speaking to the second generation. Deuteronomy really means the second saying of the law. He's now rehearsing the law to the second generation. The old generation missed the opportunity to go into the promised land, so he's rehearsing it with them. I like Deuteronomy because it's the layman's term of the book of Leviticus. If you've ever read Leviticus and Ephod of this and Omer of that, it's like, what are we talking about? But when it comes right down to it, Deuteronomy is like, okay, I get it. I understand. And so here we have, let's begin, verse 1, Deuteronomy 6. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded you to teach you, you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Now, let me just pause there. That's an indication, man, how can my days be prolonged and enjoy the prosperity that God's going to give me? I like that. These are principles as we take a look here today and just sharpen our focus, because God says, I've taught you some things. Now I'm wanting you to, as you look at verse 2, want you to teach your sons, and I want you to teach your grandsons. Now I'm a grandparent. All of my children married young and are gone. I thought, man, I'm going to start saving money. Well, that helped a little bit. But I start to see this, dear grandparents of us who are here. Your season of teaching is not over. The Word of God says you're responsible to teach your grandchildren. You teach your children, and then you teach your grandchildren. I see that clearly. I understand that. Moses is saying, as you go into the promised land to possess it, and you want to prolong your days and enjoy your family activities, here's how you turn your houses into a home and your home into a church. So we recognize, as we look here this morning, that really we're not to have a church or a temple teach these biblical principles, really. God's primary way is right there in the home. And the teachers are the parents, and the venue with which is to really speak. So that's why we come in and say, okay, what's the word of the Lord, and how can we apply these things that we have learned? So as we look, let's go just a little bit further. Verse 3 now, once again. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. It's a personal matter. Can you see that there? They'll be in your heart. Where? In your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now it's communal. Verse 6 was personal. Verse 7, it's communal. Verse 8, he goes on, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, what you do, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, so that they're also involved in what you think. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gate. So let's take a look here. Number one, five ways to really turn your home into a church. Our home is where God is top priority. Verse 4, once again. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. In Jewish tradition, that's called the Shema. The Shema is it's an imperative verb from Shema, which means from the first word, it's right there, verse 4, hear, Shema, hear. In other words, you will have a privilege and you will hear God. Hear, O Israel, hear God. Friends, that's what really makes it probably the most distinct thing ever about a Christian, is that we hear from God. Can I say that again? We hear from God. 1 Corinthians 2:14-16 says you hear from God. It says verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to that person, neither can he understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But not so with you Christians. God speaks to you by his Spirit. Wow. Hear, O Israel. Hear, man. And when we take a look at that, how awesome is that? Because it comes along and it says, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. The Jewish Study Bible translates Deuteronomy 6:4 and says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone, which means basically this, God is top priority and there's nothing else underneath him. God is one. He's number one. Well, then what's number two, three? There is no two or three, man. The secret of just really good life that God is top priority. It's like the Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Man, all these things will be added unto you. Pow. Now you can imagine, I love my wife. We're going on 33 years of marriage. It's been great. When I proposed to her, I was up at Camp Cedar Crest, where a lot of our young adults and our college are up there meeting this weekend. That's where I proposed. I didn't have a ring. I was just, honey, will you marry me? Pretty straight out. I want to make sure she said yes before I invested. How many know that? And I wanted to make sure she said yes before I asked her daddy, too. I mean, back me up here, honey. Roger Millette was a captain of the Coast Guard, and he's a tough guy. So I want to be nice. Dolly, she's sweet as can be, a pushover, but I wanted to make sure. Dolly's somewhere else, right? Is Dolly here? Okay, good. Yeah, good. So as we take a look here, we're dealing with God is top priority. Now, can you imagine if I told Ainsley, sweetheart, I'm going to tell you, you're number one in my life. You're number one. Yeah, thank you, Paul. But I said, I just got to tell you, number two is Gertrude, just down the street. And number three is this cute little secretary just came into the office. But honey, you're number one. You're number one. I just got to tell you that. You think that would bless her? No way, huh? Hello? Come on. See, God loves you. You're important to the Lord. He has big-time priorities and desires to have a wonderful relationship with you. Now, oftentimes, we all believe, yeah, God's number one. We believe God's there. We have him. But then there's also number two, there's our pursuit in that job assignment. And that need to kind of gather a little bit of the rich and famous. But God, you're number one. And I long to keep that culture going on in our society. And I want to relate but God, you're still number one. You think that blesses him. See, that's something that you and I have to work with God on. But yeah, God, you're number one. So we take a look, hear, O Israel, hear the Lord our God, the Lord is one. We have to be very careful. Because other things do come in, kind of convolute that approach. Let's take a look at number two. It says our home is a starting point of the love of God. Let's look at verse 5. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your where? Heart. Personal starting point right there. Isn't it interesting? And this is critically important. People say, what's the success of parenting? Oh, I just love God. Experience the Lord. Start right there. The loving drives the living in your home and in environment and in your success. Love God first. It drives the living. I don't love life. Well, love God first. And see how it's going to drive the living. Man, that is it. And you start to take a look the way the Word of God lays out. That's where God starts. Hear, O Israel. Hear, Paul Harmon. Love God first. And then let's take care of these little small incidentals. We look here. Isn't it interesting? Because God's Word and the way He's laying it out for us is that he's wanting really the love of God, that love to flow through us. It's theocentrically invasive in everything. Invasive means basically as if the doctor came to you and said, I got to tell you something, the cancer is invasive. That means it's taken over your entire body. There is nothing to stop it. Let the love of God be invasive in you. Taking over everything. There's nothing to stop it. See, loving God. We're not talking church. We're not talking member. We're not talking just duty rosters. Man, just, Lord, I want to love you, and it starts right there in my heart. That's really where it's so important. And I'll tell you, you start to see things develop in your life, and it's beautiful. I mean, simple things. Number one, the simple thing would be basically that you know and I know the difference between right and wrong. Because I love the Lord. I want to do what's right. Even if we don't know much of the Word, because we're just starting off our journey with Him. If you don't know and aren't into the difference between right and wrong, it really just is a sign of immaturity, and you really need someone to help disciple you. But if you've made a secure thing, I'm going to do what's right, then the second thing is that you just now start basing a lot of those decisions on, is it a wise decision or an unwise decision? That's really where it's at. Is it a wise decision to buy that thing and to go into debt for 5 years? That's kind of it. Not necessarily sinful, but is it now a wise thing? That's why it's like, oh, Lord, thank you. I would encourage people, read the book of Proverbs, loaded with wisdom. There's 31 chapters. Read the chapter according to the number of the day. Wouldn't that be cool? Just a chapter of Proverbs a day. Perfect. Let's look at number three, that your home is a place of daily discipleship. That's important. Discipleship. When we look here at verse 6, and these words, what words? The word of God, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house. When? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That communal aspect. When we look here at discipleship, and we'll be taking a look at this, dear friends, as these weeks unfold. Because many say, well, how did you disciple your children? I have a very simple approach. This is it. You disciple a mistake, you discipline rebellion. Very important. You've got to determine if there is rebellion and they just flat say no, can they know the rules and the requests? But a mistake like spilt milk, that you just don't have that milk so close next time. So we all need discipleship. And how would that look? What are some ways that we would disciple our children? And friends, even if you are a single person or a single parent, what a delight to even see some of these things. And number one, disciple them to love God. We've discussed that. But what does that look like? Isn't it great to be able to just say how we love the Lord? How important is that? To just have that word out there? I love Jesus. And I do. I really love the Lord. I love Jesus more than I love my wife. I would give up anything. And I have given up anything. And matter of fact, I cannot outgive God. The more I give away things, he gives back stuff to me I just didn't anticipate. I thought I was giving up a family business. I'm glad I'm in a better business. Man. And I've got better friends than the friends I used to have in the corporate setting. Amazing. It's amazing. But because I love the Lord and trust Him to say, Paul, let loose of that. Okay. So disciple them to love God. Number two, disciple them to remember God. Man, that's important. Don't forget to thank the Lord. Have you demonstrated that to anybody? How about just giving thanks for a meal? Look at verse 10. Verse 10, just slide down chapter 6 a little bit. So it shall be when the Lord your God brings you into the land of which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you large and beautiful cities which you did not build, houses full of all good things. How many have more stuff in their house than a yard sale can manage in one Saturday? Isn't that true? Which you did not fill, hewn out wells, which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant. When you have eaten and are full, then beware, lest you forget who. Teach your children to remember the Lord. I forget Him sometimes. I do. But I'm sure glad we have the Holy Spirit that helps. Teach them to remember God. God will help you in what that looks like. Number three, disciple them to know the ways of God. Looking at verse 13, a little bit further, you shall fear the Lord your God and serve him and shall take oaths in his name. In other words, learn what it is when he's speaking to you, because sometimes saying nothing is really saying no to God. That sounds good to me, but I'm not going to go do it. Teach them to learn the ways of God. There's a sign there, Yosemite National Park, do not feed the bears. Yeah, well, that's a no-brainer. Who wants their arm taken off? But the reason for that is if the bears learn to always be spoon-fed, they never go for foraging for their own food, and they basically get injured and starve. If children only survive on what you do and give to them, friends, they'll never leave your house. And maybe some of you like that. That's okay. But teach them to feed themselves. Hebrews chapter 5 and the last two verses say, by this time, some of you should be teachers of the word, but you still need milk. Some of us who may have lived to love Jesus for over 5 years, man, we should be cutting-edge Christians that are like setting a standard for those around us. But we are not skilled yet in the Word. That's why we do discipleship classes. But teach our children. Teach yourself so that you can teach others. And so, number four, disciple them how to choose a mate, how to choose a spouse. Look at chapter 7. Verse 2 through 4. Let's just look at verse 3. Nor shall you make marriages with them, talking about the neighbors that are not like you. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son. They will turn your sons away from following me. Serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord will be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Friends, I just got to tell you, short and sweet, I grieve over certain marriages that happen over the lifestyle of 30 years of senior pastoring. It breaks my heart. Certain marriages. And it just you just realize this is not going to be a healthy thing. Because you have two adults that are going in with two separate blueprints. Kind of like contractors. This contractor is going to build a 1,900 square foot single dwelling. This contractor is going in at a 20 complex condo, and they're now merging their business. It's not going to go well. And I cry. I literally, makes me weep sometimes. I realize they're not on the same playing field. So teach them how to choose a mate wisely. Number five, teach them to deal with peer pressure. That's the parents' responsibility. That's in chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 as well. Very important. Teach them to deal with peer pressure. And so number 4, let's take a look at that on our notes as well. Our home is a place where God's word is lived out in lifestyle. I like verse 8. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. In other words, when you do things, why you do things. Why are you doing that? Why? And it says, and they shall be as frontlets before your eyes. Even the word of God helping you how you think. There have been times, I've got two daughters, those occasions when they would leave home scantily dressed. I thought, man, that is a cute shape my daughter has, and she's not going out looking like that. Honey, come here. You're not going out looking like, why, Dad? Because it's not right. Well, why is it not right? Because it's wrong. Well, why is it wrong? Because it's not right. Well, why is it not right? Because it's wrong. And so you got this going back and forth. Well, Dad, you just don't make sense. I said, well, come here, honey. Let the Word of God. We would sometimes take a look. 1 Peter 3, verse 2. Let the adornment not be on the outside, but let it be the beautiful arrangement of your heart. I'm asking you not to do that because God's word says, don't go out looking like that. That's describing to every guy out there, I'm available. You know, let's just. And now it's up to them to make that decision. Not Dad. Dad's basing it on the word. But it's really them versus God and his word. So they're learning to understand how to properly present themselves. So as we look here, it's very important. Number five, we got to go a little bit further. Our home is where the parents lead with spiritual authority. I like that very much. What is interesting to note here in verse 9 says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house, the word of God, and your gates. The gates always symbolize the place of authority. That's where rules and judgment were in the Old Testament. You sat in the gates, you brought down just areas of determining law and procedure. Somebody with authority in the home who's going to base it on the word of God. And dear ones, whether you are by yourself, you are that spiritual authority. You have the beautiful way with which to protect that home, that dwelling place. If you are the only person saved among your family unit, you are that person placed in authority. Protect your home. Watch out from what comes into the home. God will show you. Is that a spirit of criticism that's coming in? Is that a spirit of materialism coming in where we're now eliminating our fear and love for God? Is that a spirit of lust that's coming in? You can sense these things just because it's like, man, I feel a longing or a turning toward those areas. And now we just realize those things come into our home. Used to be through cable. Remember that old line? Now it's Wi-Fi. Not even satellite anymore. Just free on the internet. And you and I are the spiritual ones governing God. You will not come into my home. This is not coming in. Matter of fact, we don't goof around with each other and put each other down. That stops. We're going to bless each other, speak words that speak encouragement, things that will edify and build them up, according to Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth, that verse says, but only that which ministers edification, that it ministers grace to the hearer. Isn't that cool? In other words, layman's term, no tearing down words, only building up words. We all hang out with people that are encouraging for us. Isn't that true? So, great spiritual teaching going on in the home. Wouldn't it be great? Not just a physical, material home. How about a spiritual home where you just come along? So, friends, buckle up. That's where we're going in these next few weeks. Just to where the Lord just says, I want to come and help you and inhabit your home, set up the standard. It's right there in the Word of God. I like that, don't you? These great sets of love letters. So I see I need to pray you off. And let's just do this. Let's close our Bibles. Let's stand to our feet right now. So glad you're here. Praise the Lord. I want this to be an encouraging message. I always like when the Lord zeroes me back. I need that zeroing back. Sometimes saying nothing and saying, I'm just going to go back to what I'm doing and just take my chances. I'll trust God. Whatever falls, I'll trust. Man, maybe the Word of God has spoken to some of us. I know the Lord will make sure you're a big success. So, Lord, as we close our eyes right now and just humble ourselves and say, Lord, we want our legacy somewhere to be saved. That was a woman who loved God, and it showed. That was a man who loved God, and it showed in the way they dealt with their family. Lord, thank you for helping Hope Chapel. Lord, we don't want to be just like any old church. We really do want to be a place where, man, your presence is honored in the gates, honored on the doorpost, and the love of God is placed in our hearts. Lord, I just speak a blessing now on each person. Let not the adversary bring condemnation, but Lord, let there be an expectation outcome, expecting great abundance and blessings. We really have already started it. We now want to just maintain and secure the blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Friends, we'll see you out there. We have people up here to pray. There's individuals. If you need prayer, come on up. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Hope Chapel Huntington Beach's Sunday Celebration Service. If you'd like to hear more of our messages, or if you're interested in finding out more about Hope Chapel Huntington Beach, then please visit our website at hopechapelhb.org.